Several years ago, when I was living in Miami, I decided to purchase a 12-foot aluminum boat. I like to fish, and one particular day, I invited my wife to come with me, and we traveled to Key Largo. We weren't going to enter into the open ocean, but rather a channel where we could fish, and we would not experience the strong currents or waves. Well, I'll never forget that day when we arrived at our designated site, and I decided to put the boat in the particular entry point, and I loaded everything up, including the troll motor, which would propel the boat forward or backwards. Well, as we got into the boat, I had a difficult time getting the troll motor started. And as a result, I began to drift by the currents. And what was alarming about this is we were surrounded by million-dollar homes with million-dollar boats tethered to their docks. And as a result, I was frantically trying to get the troll motor started to keep us from drifting into one of these expensive boats. Well, thankfully, over a period of a short time, I was able to get everything corrected. Well, this often reminds me in our Christian life how many times we are pulled by the currents of this world. And as a result, we begin to drift in our spiritual walk with God. And you see, the Bible says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God in Matthew 6:33. And in Matthew 22, Jesus said that we are to love him with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds, and with all of our strength. And in our hearts, we know that is what we should do. But often, as Christians, we have a tendency to drift in our Christian life as we are pulled by the currents of this world. Well, there were a group of Christians that were beginning to drift in their walk with God, and we see them in the book of Hebrews. So I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We want to begin looking at verse 1, as the writer of Hebrews writes to these group of Christians that were drifting in their spiritual walk with God. He specifically writes to encourage them to remain true to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You see, many of these Jewish Christians had come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and as a result, many of them were experiencing persecution. He talks about this in chapter 10. And as a result, many of them were tempted to go back to Judaism, to the old sacrifices, to the old priesthood, and all of the old covenant. And the writer of Hebrews writes to these Jewish Christians and challenges them, particularly in the passage I just read, to maintain their spiritual walk with God. He tells them to fix their eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith, who suffered himself by enduring the cross, and yet he is now at the right hand of God. And he encourages them not to grow weary and to lose heart and to go back into Judaism, but rather to stay true to their Christian faith. And you see, just like these Hebrew Christians, we all at times battle drifting in our walk with God. And usually there are some telltale signs that we are beginning to drift in our walk with God. Often, We stop spending time with God in the Word and in prayer. Sometimes we show that we are drifting in that we don't have a desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no hunger to help others in their Christian life. Another sign would be a lack of fellowship. We begin to neglect meeting with God's people on a regular basis. Often, we get distracted by the things of this age, and we notice that our time of fellowship with God's people, whether it be on Sunday morning or during the week, in a small group fellowship, begins to wane. Another sign is we become indifferent to sin. Usually, when we're growing in our walk with God, we are sensitive to sin, and we are quick to confess our sin and deal with it. But when we begin to drift in our walk with God, we become insensitive to sin in our relationship to God. So the question I want to ask is, how can I keep from drifting in my walk with God? What are the causes that often cause me to wander in my relationship with God? Well, what I'd like to do is share with you several things that I believe often cause us to drift in our relationship to God and keep us from seeking first the kingdom of God. One of the reasons why we drift in our walk with God is what I call disobedience. Disobedience. He says this in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 12, the passage I just read to you earlier. He says this, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance," and here it is, "and the sin which so easily entangles us." One of the reasons why, as Christians, we often drift in our walk with God is because we begin to start living a life of disobedience. Now, as Christians, we're all going to disobey. None of us are perfect, and even after we get saved, we still commit acts of disobedience. We all have areas in our life that we struggle with in terms of obeying God fully. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about drifting into a lifestyle of disobedience. And as he says in the passage, we are to deal with the sin that so easily entangles us. That's what disobedience often does when we fall into a lifestyle of it as Christians. You see, God delivers us from our lifestyle of sin when we become Christians, and as a result, Romans chapter 6 says that we are not to serve sin any longer. Sin used to be our master, now Christ is our master. Christ has broken the tyranny of sin in our life, and as a result, we are to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and not sin. But often as Christians, even though the power of sin has been broken and even though the tyranny of sin has been broken in our life, we find ourselves pulled back into our old lifestyles. And as a result, sin entangles us and we begin to develop strongholds in our life and we drift in our relationship to God. This happened to me when I became a Christian in high school. God miraculously changed my life, and I saw the fruits of repentance. And as a result, I had a desire to honor God and to do the right thing. But because of a lack of discipleship, and because no one really mentored me, I began to drift in my walk with God, and I began to go back to the old ways in which I used to live. I began to party, and I began to use foul language, and I began to do those things that God delivered me from, and I began to drift in my walk with God. What disobedience is causing you to drift in your walk with God? Is it a relationship? Maybe you're dating somebody that is pulling you down spiritually, and God wants you to break that relationship off. Maybe it's an addiction. God delivered you from an addiction, but due to temptation, you have given in to that addiction, and as a result of your disobedience, you are now drifting in your relationship to God. Or maybe it's some idol in your life. Whatever it is, God calls us to deal with disobedience in our life because He knows that if we don't keep a short account of sin, it can cause us to drift in our walk with Him. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 3, speaking of disobedience, he says this in verses 12 and 13. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Notice he says we have to take care. We have to give diligence that we don't fall into an unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. You say, well, how do I do that? How do I avoid that? He says in verse 13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You see, sin is deceitful. It causes us to lie to ourselves. And he says we have to encourage one another day after day. You see, one of the keys is fellowship. When I'm in fellowship with other people, particularly Christians, and we engage in prayer and Bible study together, that encourages me to run the race with endurance and not fall back into a life of disobedience. So the first cause that causes you and I to drift in our relationship to God, to keep us from seeking first the kingdom of God and loving God with all of our hearts, is disobedience. And the best way to deal with disobedience is when we disobey the Lord, we need to confess it, that is, agree with God that what we did was wrong, and we need to repent of it. That means we need to turn from it. Furthermore, Jesus said in Matthew 5, if your eye causes you to stumble, cut it out. In other words, Jesus is saying we need to take drastic measures in dealing with sin in our life. Well, there's a second cause as to why we often drift in our walk with God. Not only is disobedience a cause, but distractions can often be a cause as to why we drift in our walk with God. He says this back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance. He said earlier that we are to lay aside the sin that easily entangles us, but here, he doesn't mention sin. He mentions encumbrances. These are areas in our life that are not necessarily sin issues, but rather, they are things in our life that slow us down in the Christian race. It would be like running a 220 relay with combat boots. It's not wrong to run the race with combat boots, but they will slow you down in your Christian life. And you see, distractions often take on many different forms in our Christian life, and they often deplete us of our spiritual energy. And as I mentioned, these distractions are not inherently wrong, but they can cause us to drift. For some people, it's the computer or the internet. The computer's not wrong, surfing the internet's not wrong, but that can become a distraction in their life to keep them from focusing in on God and spending time in the Word. For some of you, it may be television. Television in and of itself is not inherently evil, although there's a lot of stuff being pushed on television that is corrupt. But television can be a distraction in a person's life. Maybe it's a relationship that's not inherently evil, but it's causing you to drift in your walk with God. God ordains Christians to work. It is the means by which He has ordained for you to support yourself and maybe your family. But your job, as good as it is, can become a distraction if you overwork and you neglect your relationship to God. For some of you, the distraction may be sports, playing it, or maybe watching it on television. Again, sports in and of itself is not evil, but it can become a distraction. Or maybe it's a hobby in your life that you enjoy that God has given to you as a gift, but that hobby can become an idol in your life. Whatever it is, distractions can often pull us away from our relationship to Jesus Christ if we're not careful. Those of you who drive are often familiar, as you're out on the expressway, you will come to a point maybe where traffic begins to slow down. And you're thinking to yourself, what is going on here? Why is traffic moving so slowly? And then finally, you discover the reason when you see an accident or a car that is stalled on the side of the expressway. And you think to yourself, something that small caused everything to slow down. Well, so it is in our Christian life. There are distractions that are not inherently evil, that are not bad, but often, like the traffic, they slow us down in our Christian life, and we don't run the race like God causes us or calls us to run. So what are the reasons why Christians often fall away from God? What are the things that cause us to drift in our walk with God? Well, the writer of Hebrews says disobedience and distractions. There's a third cause as to why we often drift in our walk with God, and that is difficulties. Difficulties. Back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, he says the following, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And then he says this, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And then he tells the Hebrew Christians who were going through suffering, "For consider him," that is Jesus, "who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You see, many of these Hebrew Christians were going through suffering. They were going through difficulty. And as a result, they were tempted to grow weary and lose heart and quit running the Christian race. And this is the same thing for you and I. One of the reasons why we often drift in our walk with God is we go through difficulty in our life. We buckle under the weight of the trial that we are experiencing. Sometimes we get mad at God and we ask him, "Lord, why am I going through this difficulty?" We feel like God is not changing our circumstances or he is not answering our prayer. And as a result, we begin to stop seeking the Lord and we begin to drift in our relationship with God. Are you going through a trial right now that has caused you to drift from God? Are you subconsciously angry at God? And you see, sometimes people can even attend church and they do their religious duty on Sunday morning, but on the inside, they've drifted from God. Their heart's not in it. They're not in the Word. They're not in prayer. Yes, they may be going to fellowship on Sunday morning, but they've really drifted in their heart towards God. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 says this to the Christian Jewish people who were struggling as a result of the trials they were going through. He says, "Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured a great conflict full of suffering." He says, do you remember those earlier days when you were suffering as a result of your Christianity? He says, verse 33, "Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions." He's saying, look, you remember during the earlier days when you got saved as a Christian, you went through all kinds of trials. He says, you helped others as they were going through trials. And then he says this to them, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will be fully rewarded. You see, the writer of Hebrews here is challenging them not to quit, to persevere, and to not throw away their confidence and not drift in their walk with God. What is causing you to drift in your walk with God? Is it disobedience? Is it the distractions of life? Or is it some type of difficulty that you're facing in your life? Well, I want to encourage you, don't let disobedience, don't let distractions, and don't let the difficulties of life keep you from drifting in your walk with God. And maybe you're listening and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says God desires a relationship with you. He created you to have fellowship with you. But the problem is, you and I are sinners, and our sin separates us from God, and we cannot have a relationship with God. And the Bible says, because you and I are sinners, the penalty for that is death and hell. But God loves you and desires a relationship with you. And all you have to do is admit that you are a sinner, and that you cannot save yourself by your good works. And the Bible says if you're willing to believe and trust that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the dead, if you're willing to trust in Christ alone and not your good works to get you into heaven, God will right now give you the gift of eternal life, and He will forgive you of all your sin. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, and I admit that I'm headed for hell. But you said in your word that Jesus died for me and rose from the dead. I believe that, and I trust in you alone right now to forgive me of all of my sins. Come into my life, Jesus, and make me a new person. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you to contact us, as you will be hearing more information in the next few minutes. Come back next week as we look at part 2 of drifting in our relationship to God.